Let's open our Bibles together in the book of Hebrews in the chapter 12. 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And can I say that in welcoming each one to God's house, it's certainly nice to know that there are those that when they come back home again, that they come and join us. And I'd like to welcome Mr. Waters here to the Lord's house. Thank you for coming and joining with us here in God's house. Just two verses of God's Word, and that is in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious, infallible word. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this is thy word. We come to minister it. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt reveal thyself to us through it and in it. We pray that thou wilt speak to our hearts. We pray that, Lord, our hearts might be blessed indeed, even as the word of God is read and as the word of God is spoken. And we pray that thou wilt lead us as we have been singing the words of this hymn, Lord, lead me up the mountainside. And Lord, we pray that you'll plant our feet upon higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise or fears dismay. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is for the higher ground. Lord, we pray that we might take ground today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and that we might climb the mountain for the Savior. Lord, we pray that you'll give us victory in our lives and give us power to serve thee. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Now, don't worry this morning when we come to this passage of God's Word in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm not going to give you a resume upon the Beijing Olympics or what is happening there, but certainly the Lord has exercised my mind about something which certainly is very practical, and that is running the race. Running the race. And that's certainly what young men and women are doing in the Olympics, and they certainly have practiced for that great occasion in their lives. But we're talking about running a greater race. We're talking about a race that is very applicable today for this service. It's running the race of faith. I was reading commentators concerning this message and about the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and one of the commentators said that he believed that the Apostle Paul, if he were alive today, he would follow the progress of various sporting teams and athletes. I thought that was interesting because I wondered where he got that from, and yet he was pointing out that if you look at his books and at the writings under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, there are several athletic references that are mentioned in the letters of Paul, which indicated that Paul had an interest in sport. And of course, at that time, that was something very practical. Because at the time whenever Paul lived, there was both the Greeks and there were the Romans, and they were interested keenly in sporting contests. And in actual fact, in those days, and in the days when Paul was alive, it was thought to be very patriotic. It was a very patriotic thing to be a good athlete. Because by being the good athlete, you could bring honor, you could bring glory to your country. In actual fact, if you look at the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you will find that Paul actually brought together two thoughts. Because he brought together citizenship, and he also brought together the athletic thought in the chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews. You see, the picture that is before us in this 12th chapter is the foot races. The men were in the arena, and the runners were preparing themselves, and they laid aside their training weights, and they're striving to run the race. And they want to run the race successfully. And some, you know, whenever they enter into a race, It's possible, as it happened the last Olympics. I remember one of the great Olympic runners, she had to pull out, although she had prepared and great expectations for a gold medal. She had to pull out because of some just weariness of the body. She grew faint in the midst of the race. And friends, you know, sometimes that's what happens. People get weary in the midst of the race. Sometimes people faint in the midst of the race. But thank God for those who keep going. And those that keep running because they keep going with their eye upon the prize. Now, of course, if you look in the first word, or in the 12th chapter, the first word in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, it says there, wherefore. It's in capital letters in my Bible there, wherefore. And so it is an important word. It's highlighted. It's an important word. And of course, the word wherefore, it's like another word in the scriptures, therefore. And those two words, whenever you read them, wherefore or therefore, there is an emphasis upon what has gone before. And so there is an importance here with this wherefore. It is a connecting word with what has gone before. It's referring, of course, wherefore, to the chapter before, the chapter 11. What is the chapter 11? The chapter 11 is a great chapter of faith. And in that chapter 11, we come to the record of great champions of faith, men who have been on the race course before us, men that have run the race before us. And then, friends, wherefore let us? Then it comes down to us. It is said that chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, is, you could say, the hall of fame of the Old Testament. Men and women of faith. And as you read about them and as you look at them, the Rahabs and the Abrahams and the Moses and the Isaacs and the Baraks and the Gideons and the Samson, then let me tell you, you know what you find? You find that they're just men and women like you and me. They're just like people like us. Yes, there's some famous names there. We think of David the king. And my, what a man David was. But whenever you read the story that the Holy Ghost gives us of David, you find he's only a man. He's only a man. And sometimes we have got this idea, you see, when we talk about the champions of faith, that we're talking about some superhumans. They're not really connected with us because it couldn't have any really relevance to our living and to our lives and to our running the race of faith. Friend, let me tell you this. These are just ordinary people like you and me, but they're doing something. They're doing something by their living and by their lives. They're living the life of faith. They're witnessing to us, as we see. They're demonstrating to us the power of God to give us victory in the race that God has given us to run. Now, I want you to notice the connecting between chapter 11 and chapter 12, the chapter of great faith, the chapter of great champions of faith in chapter 11. And then it comes to chapter 12, it says, wherefore, look at these words, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such so great a cloud of witnesses, notice this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience, the race that is set before us. Notice, it is let us. I want you to think of the scene here. I want you to see the runners. And they're starting there. They're ready for the race. I want you to see them standing at the starting blocks. And you know, whenever they stand there, you see them, and now they give themselves a shake. They're making themselves, and it seems to be a moment of tenseness. Because they're facing the race that they have trained so long for. You know, the Olympics come every four years. And men and women, let me tell you, they train, and they put themselves through all this effort because they're working towards the greatest moment of their lives. It's a moment whenever they're going to stand on the starting blocks and they hear the shot being fired and then they take off. And let me tell you something about them. Every runner wants a good start. They want a good start for the race. But friend, let me tell you, not only do they need a good start, they're also looking for the good finish. Because starting good is not enough. It is important, but it is not enough. And they're waiting for the fire, the shot to be fired, and off they go. And I want you to look at them there as they run there in that race. And I want you notice every man has his own lane. He doesn't just run about from lane to lane, not at all. Every man has his own lane to run in. In other words, there's discipline. In other words, there's order. And as he runs, or as she runs, I want you to notice, they strain every muscle that they have. It strains it. There's a determination. Look upon them. There's a third determination because they want to cross the line. They want to cross the line, and they want to cross it first. Because they've got a goal. They're aiming at something. There is something special in this race. They are not only running a race, friend. They're running to win. They've got a goal in starting the race. But they've got a role in continuing the race. They have a goal in finishing the race. And it is this, the goal is to win. You say to me, is that what I'm doing in the Christian life? No, friend, there's a difference here. Let's get this straight. When I think of the Christian running the race, let me tell you this. The Christian is not like those others out there on the racetrack, because let me tell you, they're running one against the other and trying to beat one another. But the Christian race is not that. I'm not running the Christian race, friend. Listen, I'm not straining every muscle as God's child. I'm not running against somebody else on the track. Why? Because it's my own race. It is the race that is set before us. And you're running your race, friend. Listen to me. You're not running against somebody else. You're running the race that God has given. Perhaps there's someone here this morning, you would say to me, preacher, you know, when I'd be running a race to be able to run it, let me tell you, I wish I could take back years. I wish I could do some running, but you know, I'm too old now. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm talking about this morning. You may be 80, or you may be 50, or you may be 20, or you may be 10. But I want to tell you, every child of God, no matter what your age is, you're on the track this morning. And I'm talking to you. I'm not talking about somebody else. You may say, preacher, but listen, I've got disability this morning. I'm no good a runner. I've got disability. I'm not able to run as others are able to run. Let me tell you this. You're not expected to run as somebody else. You're not expected to run somebody else's race. But you are expected before God to run the race that God has set before you. I can't run your race. And you can't run mine. You see, there's an awful lot of people who've got an idea. Let me tell you, they've an awful habit of interfering in other people's lives. And it's wonderful how they tell how what other people should do. You should do this, and you should do that, and you should do the other thing. And friend, they can outline what others should be doing. Let me tell you this. Spend time before God, friend, and do the thing that God wants you to do. Keep your nose out of other people's business. You're not running their race and they're not running yours, but God has given you a race to run. And I want to say before God, you're on the track this morning. You may not be out there in the Olympics in Beijing, but I want to tell you this, you're in a far greater race. You're on the track of the Christian race. God has set a race before you, and God's expecting you to run it this week. And God's expecting me to run it this week. I remember when I used to be at sports day in Cookson High School. I must be honest, I liked sports day. I liked running. I didn't always come first, but I liked running, but I usually was in somewhere there at the beginning. I liked the long jump. I liked the high jump. I'm glad I did, because I'm quite used to taking the high jump these days. And so therefore, I like that. I remember one time we as a congregation, some of the congregation, we went to Israel. Actually, in fact, Cecil Shields was on that trip. And I remember there was a tale in Israel, and I remember well, it was an afternoon, and we weren't out in different places. We were traveling around in Israel, but this day we're in the top of the roof of the tale, and Cecil Shields actually challenged me to a race. What a foolish man. But he challenged me to a race on the top of the tail. I don't know whether he remembers or not, but I do remember I won. Now, Cecil did come in good. He came in second. But, you know, you look back, and I remember the excursions. I remember it used to be, you know, the excursions. And you know, we go down to the beach. Brother Barry gets all these things organized. We go down to the beach, and let's be honest. You know, you like to win. If you're in the rounders, you like to win. Remember going with the youth fellowship. Dr. Lindsay Wilson was with us at the time. We went to youth fellowship on an outing, and we went to Coleraine. We went to the bowling alley. And to tell you the truth, I must be honest. It was the most wonderful occasion I was with the youth fellowship, because you wouldn't believe it. Who beat all the young people in the youth fellowship in the bowls? Me. And I could hear some of the young say, look at the preacher. And I must go, it was good for my ego. It really was. And I really wanted to win. But I must be honest, I can't run the same anymore. I'm not able to run as I used to. But I'm on the track. And I'm on the track for God, friend. And I want to tell you this, we can run the race. I'd love to do what I did yesteryears. Just before some of the rest of you tried to tell me, yes, I did have a birthday this week. And yes, I did come to the big 6-0, and a boy said to me the other day, I suppose, you'll be thinking of retiring. I said, I haven't a thought of it. Not a thought of it. So if any of you think I was still thinking of going, sorry, friends, you're in trouble. Because there's not a retirement in the thoughts. But I must be honest. Sometimes we like to get out as if it were yesterday out onto the track. And you know what happens? There's something in your mind, something in your ego, and your mind makes promises that your legs are not able to fulfill. You think you're going to win, then you're not able to run it anymore. Let me tell you spiritually, friend, we can run to win. We can run to win. You see, there's a wee verse, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is encouragement for every older person as well as every younger person. But let me tell you this here. The older people as well, read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Talking about the race for God, friend. Talking about the race for God. Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Yes, we are getting older. Yes, all of these things are failing. The outward man's perishing, but look what it says. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You're young. The inward man's not getting older. Let me tell you, friend, it's not an excuse to hang up our boots and say, listen, there's nothing I can do. Brother, sister, you're running the race for Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. You can run the Christian race from a sick bed. You can run the Christian race from a wheelchair. You can run the Christian race in old age. So often we excuse we're not able to do anything anymore. Let me tell you, friend, you're on the track this morning. I don't care what age you are. You're on. If you love the Lord Jesus, if you're saved, you're on the track. And Paul's reminding us here that every believer, let us run. Let us run. Every child of God, every believer is running a race. And we can read about the heroes of the past, friend, but let me say this. The heroes of the past are gone. It's now our day. It's now our day. We can't dwell on the past, the heroes of the past. Thank God for the heroes of the past. But let me tell you, you're on the field. You're on the field. It's your day for the field. Let us run the race. Yes, let's think about the ones of the past. It says there in verse 1, wherefore seeing we also were compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, it says we're encompassed about the heroes of the faith, as it were. They are on the stadium watching. Now, I don't believe that people are watching from heaven as we run. Now, the Lord's eye is upon us. I know there's a debating point about that, but I honestly don't believe that they are on the stadium, as it were, in heaven on the stadium watching for us. But they are witnesses to us. The lives that they lived, the record here which God has given us about these men of the past, these heroes of the past, friend, they're witnesses to us. And what are they witnessing? They're witnessing, listen, God, through faith, God gave them the victory. God brought them through. They faced trials, they faced troubles, they faced difficult situations, they faced frailty, they faced old age. But in all of these situations, the men of faith, thank God, they're witnessing to us. God brought us through. God give us the power to win. You know, some people dismiss the Old Testament. Let me tell you how foolish people are in that. Turn to the book of Romans chapter 15 for a moment. Never you be foolish to dismiss the Old Testament as if it's irrelevant and it's nothing for us today. Let me tell you, there are foolish people who try to pretend that they're theologians and tell us that we should just take the Old Testament, just put it into the bin of history. Let me tell you what it says in Romans chapter 15. In verse number 4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." There is a message. They're witnessing to us. These men of faith, these women of faith of the Old Testament, they're witnessing to us. The Bible says that they're a comfort, they're an encouragement. That these people, just like you and these of me, they're witnessing to our hearts today. And listen, we need encouragement. We need encouragement today. Then get to the book, friend. You'll get encouragement in the book of God. You'll get encouragement. You read about the life of David and the life of Samson and the life of these men and women of the past. Brother and sister, you didn't make it for the Olympic team, and neither did I. But I want to tell you this. You're running a race today. Let us run the race. I want us to consider very quickly some little things, and you can just. First of all, let us think about, these are pointers to success. First of all, the plan. Look at verse 1 again. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with patience, the race that is set before us." Notice God has a race for you to run. The race set before you. Now, I want to say something this morning. There's no retirement in this race. Let me tell you this. You're not out of this race until you draw your last breath. You're not out of this race, this Christian race. This race of faith, you're not out until you draw your last breath. There's no retirement. Let me tell you, we're not running a race to get to heaven, friend. This is not a race to get to heaven. This is us running our way to heaven. We're running a race. You see, to run in the Olympics, first of all, you must be a citizen of a country. Nobody can get into the race, as you know. Nobody can get into the Olympics unless that you're a citizen of some country. You've got to represent it. I was really delighted when I heard them say that whenever they were running through and whenever somebody won in the Olympics from either Northern Ireland or Wales or England or Scotland, that the Union Jack's going to be flying because it's the citizen of the one country. And friend, let me tell you this. For to run this race that's talked about in Hebrews 12, you've got to be a citizen of heaven. You've got to be born again. To get into this race, there's the new birth. And I wonder before God, listen, are you saved this morning? Can you honestly say, listen, I'm running this race, preacher. Yes, I am in this race because I got gloriously saved. I'm born again of the Spirit of God. Because without being a citizen of glory and citizen of heaven, child of God and an heir of the kingdom, friend, you're not in the race. You're not in this race. But I've said this before. Listen, the race that is set before us, we're not running against each other. Child of God, listen. It's sad whenever some child of God tries to outdo some other child of God. They try to down some other child of God. They try to belittle some other child of God, because they think by belittling somebody else, it's lifting them up. They don't realize, friend, by trying to belittle somebody else, they're only bringing themselves down. But it's a tragedy. And the real thing is this: we're not in competition the one with the other. You're not in competition with me. You're not in competition with the child of God sitting beside you, friend. You're not trying to outdo some brother or sister in Jesus Christ. You shouldn't be. If you are, you're not walking with God. You're not in competition with some brother. You're not in competition. You're running the race that is set before you. There's God's plan. God has a race for you to run. Let me tell you, He'll call you to account for the race when you stand before Him. And you'll not account for somebody else's race, and somebody else will not account for your race. You'll account for the race that God set before you. There's the plan. Secondly, running the race, there has to be the preparation. Now look at what it says here. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here's the preparation, friend. In order to be a successful runner, there's things that you must do, and there's things you mustn't do. It says that you must lay aside every weight. What are you talking about? What are these things, friend? Let me tell you. Why do you lay aside weights if you're running the race? These are the things that slow you down. These are the things that hinder you. We're talking about things that will slow you down. And if you see any runner, let me tell you, trying to run the race, let me tell you, in life, friend, they strip themselves down and they have on the lightest of clothing. They don't wear weights. In actual fact, in olden days, they used to wear weights to help them to prepare for the events. But I can tell you, whenever they're participating in the race, they don't. Why? Why do they not wear it? Because they remove them because it hinders. And so therefore, everything that hinders our progress must go. I'll let you into a secret. When I was away there for a few days, I decided I would walk. Get onto one of these treadmills. And I decided I would go out and I would walk on this treadmill for a mile. Next morning, mile and a half. Next morning, 2 miles. Next morning, 2.5 miles. Next morning, 3 miles. I made a problem that morning because, in actual fact, I forgot I was on my way to do this. And I had on my good shoes. And I had on my Sunday shoes. And there I was walking in these shoes, let me tell you, on this treadmill. And quite honest, my feet nearly blistered. I hadn't on my trainers. Such a sight to behold. And there I was standing there. And I was walking. And I'm telling you, my feet were sore. The next morning, I decided I'm not going to be a fool. I'm going to put on my trainers. But to be honest, I'd walked 3 miles and built up, you know, every morning. And then I got on the next morning, and my legs, the muscles of my legs, I never knew that they could ever be so sore. And I started, and I must be honest, I got a half mile, and I say, I'm going to give up. And they said, no, you can't give up, you mustn't give up. My feet were the blister, were the bar. I'm going to keep going. And friend, I walked 3.5 miles. You say, that was sickness. Well, never, I didn't. But I'll tell you one thing I didn't do. I got myself prepared that morning appropriately. I didn't go out with weights. I didn't go out. Let me tell you, nobody goes out to run a race and he's running with a big overcoat on top of him. You see, that man needs his head examined. It's a doctor he needs, never mind anything else. Let me tell you this, friend, before God. There's children of God running God's race, friend, and they're running around and they're carrying hindrances. There's weights on you today. Be honest. Before God, let me tell you. There's excess baggage. What's keeping you from running the race as well as it should be, friend? Listen, it's because that you've got access baggage. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight. You don't run with excess baggage, friend. Let me tell you this. You've got to strip down for the race. You want to win. You've got to run the race the best you can. Let me say some of the excess baggage that God people have. It's not because it's bad stuff. Not because maybe it's wrong of itself. But there are things that are not wrong in themselves, friend, but they're hindering you. They're hindering you. An overcoat is not wrong. In its proper place is right. But you don't run with an overcoat. And you see, it's not always a choice between good and bad. Sometimes it's a choice between good and what's best. There can be things you enjoy doing. But friend, it's hindering you. It's stopping you from running for God. What do you do with those things? What's it say? Let us lay aside. You've got to lay it aside. And if it's hindering you from running from it, let me tell you, there's things in people's lives and God's children, let me tell you, and they've got baggage on them, and I'll tell you, it's making them as miserable as sin. And they've lost the happiness, and they've lost the joy, and they've lost the peace. And let me tell you, they're not showing the glory of God. They're not showing the happiness of God. They're not showing the freedom that Christ brings into the heart. For friend, they're gone miserable and sour. What's wrong? I'll tell you. Excess baggage. And of itself, it may not be wrong. Let me show you a verse in that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, friend, look at verse number 12. Just read it. Read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Now, what does that mean? What do you think about expedient? Expedition. The journey of life. All things are lawful. There may be things that are lawful, friend, but let me tell you, those same things may not help you in your expedition for God. They may not help you in your walk with God. You're talking about something of itself, friend, may not be bad, but you've got to lay it aside. You've got to let go of it. Why? Because it's hindering you in the race that you're running for God. And is there something before God this morning? It says, let us lay aside every weight. Is there something that you're carrying this morning? And to be honest, you know deep in your heart you're carrying something, and it's lawful. And of itself it is not bad, but I'll tell you, it's keeping you from the best. You know what the best is? God's blessing. You know what the best is? God's joy, God's peace, God's happiness. Winning souls and loving the Lord. That's best. And yet there's excess baggage this morning. You're losing out on those things. Now, friend, look at the next wee thing. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Next wee thing. And the sin that doth so easily beset us. Now, what does that mean? It's not only things, friend, that hinder you. It's the things that entangle you. Entrap you. You see, there are some things that trip you up. And that's what it's talking about. The sin that doth so easily beset you. What's Paul talking about, friend? Let me tell you this. Many things that you and I know. Listen, the sin that doth so easily beset, besetting sins, something that you know in your heart, you come back to. You try to gain the victory over, and yet you come back to something you wrestle over again and again and again. It's a harbored sin in your heart, friend, and you need to lay it aside. Now, what is it? Let me tell you. It may be a different sin in your heart, 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 in my heart. But there's a besetting sin. What's the thing that you have to fight most with? What is the thing, friend, that trips you up? That the devil brings you back to time and time and time and time again. And deep in your heart, perhaps this morning, here you are in God's house and you know, listen, there is something in your life, friend, let me tell you, and you have never really gained the victory over. And I'll tell you this, you'll not be able to run for God, and you'll not be able to be the blessing that God wants you to be, and you'll not please the Lord the way that God wants you to please Him until you lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset you, the things that trip you up. The things that hold you down, the weights, excess baggage. And friends, you can't run right. And then the sin that doth so easily beset you, that entangles you, that trips you up. We'll look thirdly quickly at the patience here. Let us run with patience. Let me tell you, being a good athlete's not easy. It's not easy. There's a price to pay for that moment of success. And so the Bible says you have to run with patience. What's the word patience mean? It means endurance. Endurance. I told you whenever I started that final day, I must be honest. The muscles were sore, the legs were sore, my mind was given up because, you say, don't be so foolish. Sure, there's nobody, you're not running against somebody. Sure, stop. And you don't need, you know. And there had to be endurance. Now, the Word of God tells us that we are to endure hardship as a good soldier. Because let me say this, friend. If a person's in a 3-mile race, you can run 2 miles as fast as you like, but if you stop, you lose the race. You can run 2 miles, and let me tell you, you can be a mile just like a ferret down the track. And if you stop, you lose the race. What does it mean? You've got to keep going. You've got to keep right on to the end of the road. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. What did he say next? He says, I have finished my course. I finished. Are you going to finish the course, brother? Are you willing to finish the course? Let me show you. Paul had said, that's what he said at the end. At the end. That's what he said at the end of his life. But let me show you something he said earlier on. Turn to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. Quickly. Acts chapter 20. And Paul wasn't at the end of the journey here. But in Acts chapter 20, verse number 22, he says this, And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me. Verse 24, mark this, But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Mark the next words. So that I might finish my course with joy. That's what his earnest desire was. So that I might finish my course with joy. And he came to the end of the journey. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. Thank God, God answered his prayer and God gave him his heart's desire because he desired, he says, oh God, he said, even though afflictions come, even though hardship comes, even though these things, even my life, I don't count it dear unto myself, but oh God, there's one thing I want. Oh Lord, I want to finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Friend, I want to finish my course and the ministry that God has given me. There are times whenever you're tested, you know, there are times whenever the going's hard. And the old devil says you're far better to give up, friend. And let me tell you, it'd be a lot easier to stop the course, the ministry. But let me say this. Paul said that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received.
of the Lord. Man didn't give it to me. God did. Got to finish it. Got to finish it, no matter how tough the road is. So that I might finish. What did the Lord Jesus cry on the cross of Calvary? He said, "It is finished." Father, I finished the work. I don't know when the course will finish, friend. Actual fact, some of you could finish the course before me. These young people sitting in God's house today. And friend, you could finish your course in your teens. I hope not, but you could. That could be the end of the course. In your teens, your 20s, your 30s, your 40s. We don't know what the course holds, but God help us to run the race until our last breath. Help us to keep running. You know, the Bible said the Lord Jesus bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And friend, let me tell you this. May God keep you and me running the race for Christ and the race of faith until the day we bow our heads and give up the ghost. Quickly. The power. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus. Why? Because he is the author. He is the originator. He is the finisher. He's the end. He's the goal of our faith. He gave me faith in the first place. And I'm running to him. He's my goal. He's the finisher. I'm looking onto Jesus. I'm not looking at Jesus. It doesn't say looking at Jesus. Yes, you can look at this. You read the scriptures, friend, and you can look at the life of Jesus. And what a wonderful example the life of Jesus is in that sinless, spotless life of Christ, friend. But it's looking onto Jesus. What does that mean? Here's the power. We are to depend upon him. We are to trust him. We are to keep our eyes on him. We're to look away from everything else. Looking onto Jesus. Why? Because he's the author. He started us on the journey of faith, and praise God, he is the goal. He's the finisher. He's the one who'll give you the power. And then finally the prize. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. You know, who for the joy? What was the joy, friend? It's an amazing thing that we are the joy. We bring joy to the heart of Christ. Turn to the little book of Jude chapter. Or Jude, there's only one chapter, but the verse 24. Just before the final book of the Bible. Jude, in verse 24 it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Praise God. Imagine you and me bringing joy to the heart of Christ as Christ presents us to the Father. And thank God he paid the price that we might be saved, and one day he's going to present us before his presence and before his Father with exceeding great joy. Paul was writing in 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians he said this. He said here's what was the joy in his heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 19 he says, "For what is our hope and what is our joy and what is our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, for ye are our glory and joy." He won them for Christ, friend. He was a soul winner. He won them for Christ. We sang the hymn this morning, "Will there be any stars in my crown?" And when you meet Jesus, friend, will somebody be there at the throne? Somebody standing in the blood-washed throng? Will somebody be your crown of joy? Paul said, "Are not ye," to the Thessalonian believers, "you're our crown of joy and hope." He won them for Christ.
And you know, friends, somebody said one time concerning a crown and God's people wanting a crown, they said, "What would you want a crown for?" And the child of God says, "I'll tell you, the only reason why I want a crown is I want to take it and lay it at Jesus' feet. Just to lay it at Jesus' feet. The Lord Jesus will bring us to glory with joy." Father, these are my children. Father, you give them me. And on the cross I cried, "Finished." I purchased their redemption, Father. And I brought them to glory. And I see a smile on the Savior's face. He says, "Father, they're my joy. I present them before you with joy. Running the race. Brother, sister, keep running. Keep running today until you hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've given every one of your children this morning a race to run. Father, we thank thee that we can run to win. We're not going to run on our own strength because we have none, but we confess today we're looking on to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're the goal. Our eyes are upon you. And we're looking on to you. We're depending upon you. We're trusting you. Thank you, Lord, for the night we received you by faith and you saved us. And you're able to keep us from falling, and then you'll present us faultless before your throne with exceeding great joy. Pray for any this morning that are not saved. I pray in Jesus' precious name that you'll bring them to yourself. Oh, that today they might stand at the starting block. And, O God, that you give them grace to come to you by faith and then run the race that is set before them. In Jesus' precious name.